A sloth, a donkey, and a curious human. Send a prompt and see what they're doing. One hits a record with a question on his mind. Two brothers pick it up, see what they find. Corn takes his time, Herman's got the facts. Back and forth, they never hold back. My weird prompts, come on in, that's where we begin. My weird prompts, glad you're here.
This episode was generated using artificial intelligence. Please verify facts.
Today we're talking about a box. Not just any box. A box that moves the world without anyone noticing. Daniel's been down a rabbit hole, and honestly, I'm right there with him. Here's what he wrote. I've mentioned the Dolav container before. It's essentially a very large, heavy-duty, industrial plastic pallet box. Not glamorous. Nobody's going to admire its aesthetics. But once you start looking into global logistics, agriculture, and manufacturing, you realize it's everywhere. I first came across it researching industrial storage systems and assumed it was just another generic product. Then I noticed Israeli manufacturers prominently marketing Dolav containers, and the name sounded distinctly Israeli. Later, while browsing a British supplier for Euroboxes for my sister, I found Dolav listed there too. That sent me down a rabbit hole, and sure enough, Dolav is an Israeli company, and the product originated in Israel. That got me thinking. We celebrate Israeli innovations like drip irrigation and cherry tomatoes that have had global impact. The Dolav doesn't belong in that category from a PR perspective. It's an industrial crate, about as unglamorous as an invention can be. But perhaps that's precisely why it's interesting. One of the assumptions we challenged before was that plastic is unsustainable is a complete answer. It's true for many disposable products, but it doesn't capture what's happening with industrial plastics. These containers aren't designed to be thrown away. They're designed to survive decades of continuous use. Engineers have spent enormous time optimizing them for strength, longevity, repairability, stackability, and compatibility with global logistics systems. To most people, durable plastic sounds almost like an oxymoron, but in industrial settings, that's exactly what these products are. Food, pharmaceuticals, automotive parts, agricultural products all depend on standardized containers that can be stacked, lifted, transported, washed, reused, and shipped efficiently around the world. So his questions are, what was it about the Dolav that made it so successful? Was it solving a problem nobody else had solved as well? Did it introduce a genuinely new design? Or was its success driven by manufacturing quality, standardization, and timing? Why did this particular Israeli product become a global industrial standard? And the bigger question, should we think of the Dolav as one of Israel's great industrial success stories, an export with outsized impact despite being invisible to the public? Or are Eurobox enthusiasts like him in danger of exaggerating its importance because they've become fascinated by industrial storage systems? He wants to know where the truth lies. Was the Dolav simply a successful product in a niche market, or is it one of those overlooked innovations that quietly became infrastructure without most people ever realizing it? So, let's open the crate and see what's inside.
First thing to understand is what this thing actually is. A Dolav is an injection-molded polypropylene pallet box. The standard footprint is 800 by 1200 millimeters, which is the Euro pallet footprint, and that's not a coincidence. Capacities range from about 400 liters up to 1000 liters and beyond. Single-piece construction. No welds, no joints, no seams. The whole thing comes out of the mold as one unit.
Single-piece. So there's nowhere for it to fail at a join, because there are no joints.
Exactly the point. And these aren't the storage bins you buy at Target. Those are thin-wall consumer products designed to sit in a closet holding winter clothes. A Dolav is engineered for forklift tines, for being stacked 5 or 6 high fully loaded, for sitting in a field in the sun for years, for being pressure washed with industrial cleaners in a food processing plant. The material is virgin polypropylene with UV stabilizers and impact modifiers baked in. The company has a case study on their site, boxes still in daily use after 30 years in agricultural and industrial settings. Not sitting in a warehouse, not gently used. Daily service. 3 decades.
30 years is longer than most marriages.
It's longer than a lot of industrial equipment. And that's the thing Daniel's getting at. This isn't disposable plastic. This is engineered infrastructure that happens to be made of polymer. The distinction matters enormously, and it's almost entirely invisible to anyone who doesn't work in supply chains.
So what was the world using before Dolov showed up in 1976?
Wood, mostly. Wooden crates, wooden pallet boxes, sometimes metal drums for liquids and bulk solids. The problem with wood is it splinters, it absorbs moisture, it harbors bacteria, it's heavy, and it doesn't clean well. In food processing or pharmaceuticals, that's a non-starter. Metal rusts, it's even heavier, and it dents. So there was a genuine gap in the market for something that was durable, lightweight relative to its strength, completely cleanable, and dimensionally stable.
Dimensional stability. That's the part where it doesn't warp in the sun and stop fitting on the pallet it was designed for.
Right, and that's where the material science comes in. Polypropylene with the right additives doesn't warp significantly under normal industrial temperature ranges. It doesn't absorb water. It's resistant to most chemicals. You can steam clean it. You can leave it outside in the Mediterranean sun for a decade, and it still stacks true. Wood can't do any of that.
The name Dolov. Hebrew?
Yeah, it's a Hebrew name. The company was founded in 1976 in Israel, and the timing is one of those things that looks obvious in retrospect but wasn't at the time. 1976 is right when global containerized shipping was taking off. The ISO shipping container had been standardized about a decade earlier. The Euro pallet standard was becoming dominant across Europe. Global trade was accelerating, and suddenly there was massive demand for standardized, stackable, durable containers that could move seamlessly between trucks, ships, warehouses, and factories.
So they didn't just design a good box. They designed a good box that fit exactly into a system that was exploding.
The 800 by 1200 millimeter footprint. That slots directly onto a Euro pallet. A Euro pallet fits two across in a standard ISO container. The whole system interlocks. If Dolov had picked a proprietary footprint, some weird dimension that only worked with their own pallets, they'd be a footnote. Instead, they built to the standard that was becoming the standard, and they rode that wave.
It's the VHS versus Betamax lesson, except applied to crates.
And they won. Or at least they became one of the standards. The German Eurobox system predates them and is dominant in a lot of European logistics. Dolov carved out a niche by being heavier duty. Thicker walls, stronger ribs, tougher material formulation. The Eurobox is great for a lot of applications. The Dolov is what you reach for when the application is punishing.
Let's talk about those ribs. Daniel mentioned the design, and I went and looked at some photos. The walls aren't flat. They've got this pattern.
This is a product born on a collective farm in the desert. It's the same principle as corrugated cardboard or an I-beam. You're putting material where it does structural work and removing it where it doesn't. Right. And yet here we are. The first containers were relatively simple, but the design iterated quickly. By the mid-80s, they'd established Dolov UK, 1985, to serve the European market, then Dolov USA in 1995.
Potatoes. That's the Cyprus example Daniel mentioned?
Companies were moving away from single-use cardboard and wood crates toward returnable, washable containers that could circulate in a closed loop. The Dolov fit the need perfectly. It was durable enough to survive hundreds or thousands of trips, it was washable for food and pharma applications, and it was already dimensioned to ISO and DIN pallet standards.
That last part seems crucial. It didn't require anyone to change their forklifts or racking.
That's the standardization play, and it's the thing most product designers get wrong. They want to reinvent the system. Dolov didn't. They said the world already runs on 800 by 1200 and 1000 by 1200 pallets. Forklifts already exist. Pallet jacks already exist. Conveyor systems already exist. Wash stations already exist. Our box will fit into all of that, and it'll do it better than what you're currently using.
So we've got a box that's strong, cleanable, stackable, dimensionally compatible with global shipping infrastructure, and it lasts 30 years. I'm starting to see why Daniel got obsessed.
And there's one more piece that I think is underappreciated, the manufacturing process. Dolov designs and builds its own injection molding tools in-house. This is on their innovations page. They don't just make boxes. And that's a powerful position. It's the same logic behind the shipping container. McLean didn't invent the ship or the truck or the crane. He invented the box that worked with all three.
Right. They build their own molds?
In-house tooling and mold design. That's a core competency they advertise. Injection molding at that scale for a single-piece box that big isn't trivial. The mold itself is an enormously complex piece of engineering. You're injecting molten polypropylene into a cavity the size of a large crate, and you need it to fill evenly, cool evenly, and release cleanly every single cycle for hundreds of thousands of cycles. If you're buying molds from a third party, you're limited by what they can do. If you're designing and building them yourself, you can iterate on the design in ways your competitors can't.
So the secret sauce isn't just the box design. It's the ability to keep improving the box design because you control the entire manufacturing stack.
Vertical integration. Design, tooling, molding, quality control, all under one roof. That's rare in plastics manufacturing. Most companies buy molds from specialists and run them. Dolov treats the mold making as part of the product.
That's actually a much more interesting story than I expected from a plastic crate.
Right? And it connects to something Daniel touched on in his prompt, Israeli innovation. We talk about Waze, Mobileye, Iron Dome, drip irrigation, cherry tomatoes, all consumer-facing or at least publicly visible. But there's this parallel story of industrial manufacturing excellence. Companies like Dolav, Netafim with drip irrigation, Plasson with plastic fittings. These are companies that built global businesses on precision plastic engineering. Not apps, not algorithms, not defense systems. Physical products that have to work in the real world under real stress for decades.
Netafim is an interesting comparison. Drip irrigation is celebrated. You see the pipes in fields, you understand the water savings. It's a story that's easy to tell. A Dolav box is just a box. It does its job so well that you stop seeing it.
That's the invisibility paradox. The more successful infrastructure is, the less visible it becomes. Nobody thinks about the power grid until the lights go out. Nobody thinks about the shipping container until there's a supply chain disruption. And nobody thinks about the crate that the potatoes arrived in, ever. But the global food supply chain depends on these crates. Without standardized, cleanable, stackable containers, fresh produce doesn't move from farm to supermarket efficiently. It spoils, it gets damaged, it costs more.
So the Dolav is infrastructure in the same way that the shipping container is infrastructure, just at a different scale.
Malcolm McLean's shipping container changed the system. Before containerization, loading a ship took days and required an army of longshoremen. After, it took hours with a handful of crane operators. The container didn't just replace the box. It rewrote the economics of global trade. The Dolav didn't rewrite the economics. It optimized within an existing system. The pallet and the ISO container were already standardized. The Dolav made the box that sits on the pallet that goes in the container better.
So it's not a category-defining innovation. It's a category-optimizing innovation.
And that's not a criticism. Most innovation is optimization. The question Daniel's asking is whether we should put it in the same category as drip irrigation or cherry tomatoes. And I think the answer is yes and no. It's not as transformative as drip irrigation. Drip irrigation changed how we grow food in arid regions. That's a civilization-scale impact. The Dolav made bulk logistics slightly more efficient. But that slightly more efficient, multiplied across thousands of shipments over 30 years across dozens of industries, adds up to something significant.
It's the difference between a breakthrough and an accumulation. A breakthrough is visible. An accumulation is invisible until you add it all up.
And that's the thing about industrial infrastructure. The gains are distributed. A farmer in Cyprus saves a few cents per kilo on potato shipping. A chemical plant in Germany has fewer spills. A food processor in Brazil has fewer contamination incidents. None of these are headline-grabbing, but they compound.
Let me push back on something, though. Daniel asked if Eurobox enthusiasts like him are in danger of exaggerating the Dolav's importance. I think there's a version of this story where we're just describing a well-made product in a competitive market. The Dolav is good, but it's not the only heavy-duty pallet box. There are competitors. The German Eurobox system is more widespread in Europe. IBCs, intermediate bulk containers, dominate liquid and bulk chemical transport. The Dolav is a player, not the player.
That's fair. And I think Daniel would acknowledge that. His prompt isn't claiming the Dolav is unique or dominant. It's asking whether it's an overlooked success story that deserves more recognition than it gets. And I think the answer to that's yes. with the caveat that the recognition it deserves isn't public fame. It's the recognition that industrial engineering matters.
The fame it deserves is being bought by logistics managers who know exactly what they're looking for.
Which is a kind of fame. It's just not the kind that gets you on magazine covers.
The cover of Modern Bulk Logistics Monthly.
A behind-the-scenes enabler that most people never think about, produced by a small Israeli company that competed with much larger European and American industrial firms and won a significant share of the global market through design and manufacturing quality.
But there's a counter-argument here, and I want to steelman it before we dismiss it. Dolav is a box. A very good box, a well-designed box, but a box. It's not a fundamentally new category. Pallet boxes existed before 1978.
There's another angle here that I think is worth pulling on. The sustainability question. Daniel mentioned it in his prompt, and Dolav has a whole sustainability page on their site. The argument is straightforward. A single Dolav box can eliminate thousands of cardboard boxes or wooden crates over its 30-year life. Cardboard is recyclable, yes, but it still requires energy and water and chemicals to produce and recycle. Wood requires trees. I think that's fair, and I want to sit with it. The Dolav didn't create a new industry. It didn't enable something that was previously impossible.
The phrase durable plastic sounds like an oxymoron to most people. But in industrial settings, that's exactly what it is.
The question is whether the increment is large enough and the adoption wide enough to qualify as significant. On that measure, 50-plus countries, genericized brand name, still going strong after almost 50 years, I think it qualifies. It's not the shipping container, it's not drip irrigation, but it's in the tier just below that. It's a textbook example of excellent industrial design finding a global niche and owning it. The pallet box is used for 30 years and then gets recycled into another pallet box. They're not the same category.
The problem is the word plastic. It's too broad.
But the innovations that actually keep civilization running are mostly invisible. Pallets, containers, pipes, pumps, valves, bearings, fasteners. The Dolav belongs in that category. It's infrastructure.
There's something almost perverse about how little recognition infrastructure gets relative to its importance. The shipping container gets a book and a museum exhibit. The pallet gets a niche podcast episode. The Dolav gets this conversation.
And that asymmetry creates an opportunity, actually. If you're an investor or an entrepreneur, the invisible infrastructure space is often less competitive and more durable than the flashy consumer space. A Dolav box is more expensive upfront than a wooden crate or a cheaper plastic bin. The value proposition is total cost of ownership. You pay more on day one, but you're still using it on day 10,000. For applications where the box gets beaten up, where hygiene matters, where downtime from a failed container is expensive, the math works.
And for applications where none of that matters, you buy the cheaper option.
Right. The Dolav isn't trying to be the cheapest box on the market. It's trying to be the box you buy when the cheap box fails and costs you more in the long run. That's a classic premium positioning strategy. And it works because the product actually delivers on the promise.
Which brings us back to Daniel's bigger question. Should we think of this as one of Israel's great industrial success stories?
I think it belongs on a list that most people don't know exists. Israel's industrial manufacturing exports are substantial. Plastics, chemicals, machinery, electronic components. The high-tech sector gets all the attention because it's sexy and it produces billion-dollar exits. But the industrial sector has been quietly building global businesses for decades. Dolav is a perfect example. It's not a unicorn. It probably never will be. But it's a company that identified a global need, engineered a superior solution, and has been selling it successfully for nearly 50 years.
50 years. 1976 to 2026.
Half a century of making plastic boxes. That's not a flash in the pan. That's an institution.
And it's still privately held, I assume.
As far as I can tell, yeah. It's not a public company. It's not making headlines. It's just doing the work.
There's something almost refreshing about that. In a world where every startup is trying to disrupt something and get acquired, here's a company that just makes really good crates and has been doing it for 50 years.
The anti-disruption. Disruption through sheer durability.
I want to go back to something you said earlier about invisibility. The more successful infrastructure is, the less visible it becomes. I think that's the real insight here, and it's bigger than the Dolov.
Say more.
We have this cultural obsession with visible innovation. The new phone, the new app, the new car. Things we can see and touch and show off. But the things that actually make modern life possible. The power grid, the water system, the shipping containers, the pallet boxes, the logistics software, the cold chain. All of that's invisible to most people. And because it's invisible, we undervalue it. We don't celebrate the engineers who design pallet boxes. We celebrate the entrepreneurs who design apps.
The phone you're using to order groceries was shipped in a container that was loaded by a forklift that was moving pallets that were stacked with boxes that were probably, somewhere in the chain, a Dolov or something like it. The digital economy runs on physical infrastructure. And the physical infrastructure runs on crates.
The cloud is just someone else's server, and that server arrived on a pallet.
In a box. Probably a really well-engineered box.
What's the takeaway for someone listening who doesn't work in logistics and isn't about to buy industrial pallet boxes?
I think there are two. The first is specific to the Dolov. It's a genuine success story. Not because it changed the world, but because it solved a specific problem with exceptional engineering and manufacturing quality, and it rode the wave of global containerization at exactly the right moment. That's worth recognizing, even if it's not glamorous.
And the second?
The second is about how we see the world. The most impactful technologies are often the ones you never notice. Infrastructure shapes our lives more than any consumer gadget, but it gets almost no attention. The Dolov is a reminder to look at the pipes, not just the faucets. Next time you see a stack of industrial crates, ask what they're made of, how long they've been in service, what they replaced. The invisible infrastructure of the global economy is full of fascinating engineering stories.
It's a mindset shift, from noticing the shiny to noticing the sturdy.
The sturdy is often more interesting. The shiny is designed to be noticed. The sturdy is designed to work. Those are different design philosophies, and they produce different kinds of objects.
I'm now going to be insufferable at parties. Did you know that the potato you're eating probably traveled in an Israeli-designed polypropylene pallet box that's been in service since the 90s?
You don't go to parties.
I go to logistics conferences.
You've never been to a logistics conference.
I'd be very popular at one.
If the Dolov is so well engineered and lasts 30 years, doesn't that mean they eventually saturate their own market? How do you keep growing when your product refuses to die?
That's a sharp question, Hilbert. It's the classic durable goods problem. And I think the answer is probably a combination of things. Market expansion into new regions and industries, new product lines for different applications, and honestly, the sheer growth of global trade means more boxes are needed every year. Plus, boxes do eventually get lost, damaged beyond repair, or retired. 30 years is the upper end, not the average.
Also, a company that's been doing this for 50 years has probably figured out the math. If your product lasts forever, you charge accordingly upfront, and you keep finding new customers. The world's a big place. There are always more potatoes.
Thanks, Hilbert. Good question.
Here's what I'm left wondering. Daniel asked about the Dolov specifically, but the question applies more broadly. What other invisible Israeli innovations are quietly running the world? And beyond Israel, what about innovations from other countries that we've never heard of? The products and technologies that are everywhere but never celebrated.
That's the invitation, really. If you're listening and you work in an industry with its own version of the Dolov, some piece of equipment or infrastructure that's brilliant and durable and completely overlooked, we want to hear about it. Send it to us.
The show's at myweirdprompts.com. Tell us about the crate that changed your industry, or the fitting, or the valve, or the sensor. The things that work so well they've become invisible.
This has been My Weird Prompts. Keep looking where nobody else is looking.
This episode's script was written by DeepSeek V4 Pro, with text-to-speech by Chatterbox.
Thanks for listening to our show, My Weird Prompts, where odd thoughts go. From sloth slow takes to facts on cue, we chase the strange and follow through. Some nights it's news, some nights it's lore, a thought you've never heard before. The host dig in, the host dig deep, The stranger the prompt, the less they sleep. From tiny questions, big ones too. From half-formed hunches to deja vu. If something odd is in your head, send it in, we'll chase the thread. My weird prompts, that's the close. From sloth, from man, from long ear host. My weird prompts, until next time. Stay curious, keep weird in mind.